Welcome to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look, where you, the investor, get to listen as Chris Perry grills the best and the brightest in the corporate sector to help you find out who's the wheat and who's the chaff. Listen in.
The opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily shared by people who are wrong.
Hey, welcome to Equity Gurus Podcast. I'm Chris Perry, your head honch at Guru HQ. Today we're talking to Max Sally, who is the CEO of Barion Mining, about what he's calling mining for millennials. Listen in.
Well, a short story about Barion and why we created Barion Mining was, we felt that the time and the market was right to get into the gold space. And, you know, we saw what happened with the blockchain space. That was fun for a hot minute, and the marijuana sector was kind of coming off. And, you know, being in the business for about 10 years now, I witnessed the last gold run, and I saw stocks go from 10 cents to $10, multiple stocks multiple times. And, you know, I figured that when gold does go again, it's going to go just as hard. And people forget that some of the wealthiest people in the world come from the mining sector, not these little temporary fads. So I built Barion with a good group of people, with a good asset, with a good investor base. We're going to have probably around $4 million in the till when we IPO, a drill program ready to go on a proven asset that had money spent previously. So the risk on the downside from the IPO, I think, is very minimal. And I think going forward, and it's just a bunch of blue sky opportunities for investors.
So I kind of look at gold right now as being the anti-Trump investor pick. If you think Trump is nuts and going to descend into chaos, putting your money into gold seems to be a good option.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%. I mean, I think Trump is especially with the shutdown. You know, I was with some analysts last week in Toronto, and they said the longer the shutdown lasts, the higher the price of gold is. And the unfortunate part of why gold isn't higher right now is because, you know, places like Europe are still having issues. And, you know, what currency are you going to buy when the rest of the world is falling? It's going to be the U.S. dollar. So we have to see some softening on that. But we're so close to that $1,300 range. I think, you know, technically, and just from people's perspective, once we break that $1,300, we're going, and you're going to see a lot of people piling into gold very, very quickly. And they're going to be looking for good names that they could buy. And I think Barion is a new, clean vehicle in the space. There's not a lot of shares out. And I think we have a good drive to push this thing forward and get it moving.
So tell me, what have you got on the ground?
What do we have on the ground for work? Well, for the work program?
Mm-hmm.
The work program that's going to happen out of the gates is the thing about this asset is it's had about $1.5 million worth of actual drilling on the property U.S., but there's been no modern geophysics or geochem done on the property. So it's a Carlin-style type of mineralization where there's mineralization shown on surface, and all those targets were previously drilled, and they had very successful holes. Our best holes, which is our deepest hole drilled, was 133 meters of 1.3 grams per ton. But every other hole was just down to 45 meters. And with this part of Nevada, there's a lot more cover. So the mineralization may not come quite to surface. So what we're trying to do is take the mineralization that we've seen and drilled and connect the three zones and hopefully come up with a resource around some of these fantastic holes that we've drilled. So immediately once we IPO, we're going to do some geophysics, followed by a very aggressive drill program, which based on the price of gold, if the gold price starts moving, we can get three rigs going. We are permitted for 77 drill pads. We can drill three holes off of each pad. There are no permitting issues. We can go as hard as we want, as quickly as we want with this project.
Nevada loves its miners, hey?
It sure does.
Nevada does.
But I think a lot of the strength is the shareholder base, a lot of people behind the deal, and I don't know how you'd write that without revealing shareholders, but some of the names are pretty powerful and you get support from the market.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing too, Chris, I mean, you know, there's always the connection, Brad Telfer happens to be, related to, Ian Telfer kind of thing, how you want to spin that. But, mm-hmm. Jordan Trimble's had tremendous success with his company selling a gold company. He was 23 years old, I think. Jim Gregg, Benchmark Minerals, had a great run recently. So, I just think there's a lot of good shareholders. Rob Sally, Marin Katusa. It's kind of, obviously people aren't going to like me put the names, but, I think that's a big thing too is, you're going to say, well, this is how much stock is out, but I guarantee you a lot of that stock's not coming out.
Yeah.
So we obviously go to a very younger investor audience that may not understand the process
of getting from where you're at to producing gold. How would you characterize it in terms of timeline? Where are you at right now, and how long will it take you to get to a place where you know you're on?
That question is fairly standard. I think going from exploration to a fully permitted project that is in production is probably a 7 to 10 year process.
Mm-hmm.
What I see with this project is this is not a project where I'm going to see us here in 7 to 10 years. You know, I think having Goldcorp as our, you know, involved with our partner doing some programs for them and the merger yesterday is all these big companies are looking for ounces in the ground, period,
mm-hmm.
because they need to increase their production because, you know, companies spent the same amount of money as they did in the 90s and they're finding 5% of the gold. So what you're going to see is you're going to see a big run in the price of gold, just like the last one in, you know, 2008, 9, 10. You're going to see some good drill holes come out and we're going to try and get an initial resource out in the first, say, within 2 years. And based on that number, you'll see a major come in either before or after some results and say, okay, here's your project. We think there's a lot of potential. We're going to take you out before another guy does.
So a lot of good mining stories are never ruined by actual drill holes. You guys look like you're so keen to get the drills in the ground, you can barely contain yourselves.
You know what? The project has had phenomenal numbers coming from it. And the way that the old geos did this is they saw mineralization and they drilled it. So we're going in there with modern techniques to find out where the mineralization is below surface. And I think that's the best way we can do this. I mean, within that 133 meters of 1.3 grams, there were 30 meters of, you know, 3.5 grams gold. So the project has shown a lot of potential. It's not like we're going in there blind.
Mm-hmm.
So will you be twinning holes for the
thing? The twinning holes, what we're going to do is we're going to do a step out hole around. The first thing we're doing, Chris, is to try and get some guaranteed results is we're going to do some step out twin, you know, however you want to say it, around mm-hmm. the results we have so we know where we're going to have success and then we can say the mineralization extends X and X.
Mm-hmm.
And along with that, we'll also have some step out holes with the new data that our geos are compiling. So out of the gates, we know where we're going to drill and it's going to be near where the mineralization is now. So we have a very, very high chance of hitting. And that way, you know, when we start taking more riskier drill targets, you know, we hit, we don't. But so far, you know, every holes that they've drilled on this project before we got involved has hit gold.
So you guys are a younger crew than most. Most of the explorers in this space are barely able to keep their footing on the side of the mountain. how does the way that you're approaching this differ to the traditional old, like, we'll take this one drill hole at a time and we'll use...
You know what? I just think that, for example, the guy that ran this program before is very successful. Andy Wallace has had, I think, 2 mines under his belt. But the old school way of geos, you know, they're all in their 60s, 70s, is they do it how they did it when they were younger and they don't like to adapt to modern stuff. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, us coming in here, we're hungry. We want to show people what we can do. Our board has had success. And our geo, our head, our PGO, who's on our board, Chris Raffle, who runs Apex Geosciences, he's in his early 40s. He did all of Gold Standard Ventures' work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And Gold Standard is $600 million market cap. So he's got a team in Nevada. He's got the experience in Nevada. And the nice thing about having this particular company for us is you can turn them on and off. So
mm-hmm.
we're not, you know, loading up the board with a bunch of costs on, you know, having our full-time geos and CFOs. You know, the plan is to keep G&A low and to spend all the money drilling. And we have one of the best guys in the business running our drill program, which is Chris Raffle.
And obviously in Nevada, you can drill year round. You could drill
yes.
through the night if you want to.
Yep.
You can set a rocket off from the property and the Nevadans will probably say it's okay. They're a mining company.
Yeah. Now, the only thing about the year round, the one area where we are in, there is a winter mountain goat. Between I think November and March, and you can make X amount of noise, but if you want to make more noise, you got to talk to the forestry services. However, since Trump did what he did, you can't call anyone because no one's at the fucking office, right? So on the one hand, I can put a drill rig right there right now, and no one's gonna know because the government shut down.
Quick,
so,
get him out there.
Right. So it's what do you do? So I call with the rancher on the property. I'm going to call him after I call you. I sent an email last week. Now, it's about 3 hours from any city. So, you know, the internet connection's a little slower than what you and me are used to.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll be able to give me the go-ahead and say there's either a bit of snow or there's no snow. If there's no snow on the property, so the presentation you have is us there in September.
Mm-hmm.
We are high up, but it's easily accessible. And if there's no snow, we should be able to get this thing going first week of February.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
It removes a lot of risk. You've got everything you need to make this thing work. All you need is the luck of what's under the ground.
Yeah. And, you know, when you go and you add up, you know, when you see some of these people say, you know, the combined experience of this company is 500 years. Well, fuck. I mean, that's because everyone's 90. You know, the combined experience of our team is maybe 120. But I'll tell you right now, it's we got some very, very experienced guys that have had a lot of success. I don't think the combined number of years means anything. It just means someone has decided to sit on their ass longer.
I think one of the biggest success stories the last couple of years in the gold space was Integra, with a bunch of guys that were not only young and finding it hard to get any sort of credibility on, but have done some completely outside-the-box things to progress their company to a point where they've got a takeover.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that you guys probably are in the same sort of mindset, like let's break them all.
Exactly. You know, I think everyone is – this project is a project that Jordan Trimble, the director, looked at years ago for one of his projects, Sky Harbor. Couldn't get a deal done. So this is a project that people have been eyeing for years, but it was in a vehicle that wasn't giving it a lot of love.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's been a lot of people over the years that have really wanted to get on this project and get it going. And the fact that we're fully permitted is we can get on there, and we'll know within the first, year or two if we have something big or not. And the fact that we're permitted for so many holes and drilling in Nevada is really not expensive. We can get a lot of good results up there very quickly, and then the market can make their decision on how they feel. And I think we're also out there marketing properly in the store, I'm not a big guy of, just running the thing up and having it. I think there's a base that you have to build with this, and I think that's what we're trying to do here, is get people the story out and say, hey, listen, this is something that could be a huge success, and we're going as quickly as we can, and we're going to try and get the story out to the best people.
And Katusa specifically asked for this project?
Yeah, Katusa, and obviously you probably can't write that, but I don't think he'd like that either. But yeah, this is a project that Katusa specifically said, if you get into this property, I'll finance it for you.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Your earn-in is pretty cheap.
Pardon me?
The earn-in is pretty cheap.
Yeah, so the nice thing about the earn-in with these two projects, so Bolo's our main asset. Both assets came from Allegiant Gold. The nice thing is, this is an asset that Allegiant also wanted to see more work done on. Unfortunately, they have their main project, and they just weren't able to do everything at once. So there's zero cash payments, period, to either project. It is $1 million U.S. worth of stock for Bolo over 3 years, $250 on IPO, and $250 every year after that. It's an $8 million U.S. spend over 6 years, which can be accelerated at any time. The first $4 million will get us control, 50.01, and the next four will get us up to 75. And they wouldn't go past 75% as much as we wanted to, because he likes this property a lot.
Yeah. That's a pretty rare thing. Usually, you can get that last piece unless someone knows something.
Well, exactly right. So obviously, if he gave us 100%, then that means what does he know that we don't? But
right.
I think he's excited about this property, and we're happy to work with him together. I get along great with our partner. Robert's used to is a great guy, and I think this is going to be a story that he's very happy to see getting a lot of love.
Mm. Okay.
You're listening to the Equity.Guru podcast with your host, Chris Perry.
Just a quick note to tell you, sorry to interrupt your interview, but if you want more of these, you need to go to your podcast player, whatever that podcast player is, and go and subscribe to the Equity Guru podcast. You can do that through iTunes, you can do it through Google Play, you can do it through all the places. Equity Guru podcast. Do it now. Welcome back.
Is there anything else on the horizon? Are you guys looking at other properties, or are you
a second property in the back of the? Do you have the presentation with you, Chris?
I've got the one on the website.
Okay. Yeah. The sleeper asset, page 23.
Okay.
And we called it the sleeper asset specifically because it's kind of like one of those Volkswagen Golfs that's got a V8 under the hood. There was, between 1905 and 1942. 16 million ounces of production, 327 gold and 15.7 silver. and it's a little bit deeper. Bolo is all on surface starting from, this is about starting from about 50 meters. But, I mean, to have someone go in there and produce 16 million ounces of silver and, you know, over 100, you know, 100 years ago is quite impressive. So we're doing some data compilation on this asset now, and we'd like to see if the price of gold and silver comes back up, this asset can become very valuable to us because we know that there is production from this asset, and this is more of a silver play. But I think if you do the equivalent, 16 million ounces of gold, it's... 60 million ounces of silver works up to about 9.3. Yeah, 320 ounces of silver works up to about 9.3 ounces of gold over a few meters. So it's a good project, but I think it just needs a bit more time for the market to show it some love with the prices.
Is this one that Andrew brought to you?
Jimmy.
Okay, is there another one that
Andrew's
got?
Andrew? No, yeah, I mean, we're always looking to acquire more assets. Obviously, we have a focus now on Bolo. But moving forward with some of our very key shareholders, there are a lot of ideas we have in place right now.
Got it. Okay. and so this is pre-IPO deck that I'm looking at. When is the IPO expected?
We books open officially on Monday.
Okay.
So now we're just getting all the orders together. Books open Monday, and Haywood, who's doing the lead on the IPO, we expect to close next Friday or shortly after, and then have this listed by the end of the month.
And then you'll have some cash to go about and do your
thing. Yeah, I think after all the bills are paid on the financing, we have about $500,000 in the till right now. We're doing $3 to $4 million raise in the IPO. We think we're going to hit the full four. So after all fees, we'll probably have about 4.12 in the bank, 4.2.
That's for the Chris Perry Beer Fund.
That's from the Chris Perry Beer Fund, yeah.
That's a pretty big fund.
a lot of beer.
So once that happens, how much of that $4 million you guys are planning to stick in the ground this year?
So what we're committed to spend is $550,000 US in the first year, $750,000 in the second year. You know, so just say the market doesn't do what you want, we can keep that to a minimum and conserve our cash. If the market goes, and what we're all hoping is the market goes, it looks like it is. We're hoping to increase that spend and to move forward as quickly as we can. If gold goes, we're gonna go. So we have no problem doubling up our budget for the first year. And if we get some good traction in the market, I'm assuming I'll get a bought deal or a financing done in the future.
And as you said, Chris, once the impeachment process starts...
If that does happen, you're right. Gold's going to the fucking moon.
It is going through the roof. I noticed that you've got a pretty high level of insider investment on the IPO side of things, or on the early side of things.
Yeah, obviously, you know what? I'm someone that has always put my money where my mouth is.
Yep.
And so with between my family and the insiders and close family friends, it's about 25%. But I can, you know, I almost know every person that has taken the 5 cents so far by name. So we're hoping to get a very tight shareholder list in the 20 cent. Obviously, you can't control the whole float. The nice thing about the way the IPO is working is the 5 cent is all locked up for it's a matrix subject. So it's every 3 months, 25% comes out. So for the first 3 months of trading, swing out of the gates, the only trading paper is the IPO paper, the 20 cent. There's no warrant on that. And a lot of that IPO paper, everyone that took the 5 cent has to take the 20 cent. So we're going to have a lot of that paper that's going to be sitting back, not coming out.
Okay. That's good. So you were with Advantage Lithium recently, you know, so you've got a little bit of an insight into the younger resource investor.
Yeah.
Do you see that category as being something that's growing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the lithium space was a fun space when I did the Advantage. It was a shell. I hit $1.42. We had a very positive PEA. All our news that's come out has been phenomenal. We had phenomenal news last week. And I think it's the same thing. You know, I think lithium was the hot space. It's kind of the clean energy, and Tesla really sent that going. A couple buyouts in the space. But I think the millennials kind of went from lithium over to blockchain over to pot, because I don't think they really think of mining as the kind of friendly. But I think what millennials got to also look at is how many of those guys bought blockchain and probably lost all their money thinking this was going to go to $100,000.
Right.
So, if, you know, the nice thing, if you compare the chart that I have in the presentation to Bitcoin, is that, you know what, I meant Bitcoin, I don't mean blockchain. Is that, you know, gold's an investment when the markets are scary that people should take, and I think millennials need to get smarter and to understand that, you know what, these fads aren't going to last long. And a lot of people that made money in the Bitcoin chain that took companies public were the guys that built the vehicles, and everyone else paid the price by buying it after they came trading.
Yep.
So, you know, I think this is something where, you know, we have a clean vehicle at 20 cents. You know, we're not trying to IPO this thing at $2. You're going to see a nice build in the story. And I think everyone gets a good opportunity to buy in at a very, very reasonable valuation with a lot of upside potential.
And no sellers.
Very limited sellers. Craig's not selling.
Until you hit that first bonanza. Okay. So this is, I think you, this is a nice risk-free
It's definitely less risk than your average mining story. I mean, I think, you know, venture capital in terms of risk is probably the riskiest thing you can do. But at the valuation we're coming out at, and there will be no paper cheaper coming out trading for the first 3 months, we're all getting in at the same price, you could say.
So I think that the risk on an explorer is often miss one hole, you've got no more ability to raise money, you're raising money constantly, share prices is being dragged down by others. It seems like the gold as a sector is on the move right now. Politically, it's going to be more and more important.
Trump keeps, like you said, I mean, you know what? It depends how quickly you get this article written. The government could still be shut down when you put it out.
It could be shut down by my birthday next year. But you're sticking the drills where you know that there's already a pretty strong chance that there's something there.
Yeah, the target
cash
right
in the
around
hand.
Where we know that we've had success in the past.
Yeah, so there's not going to be any likely change in attitudes in Nevada towards mining.
No.
You don't need to build any infrastructure.
No.
It's as close to a layup as possible.
Yeah.
At least in the short term.
Yeah. In the short term, it's good. I mean, you know, the only thing is, and the nice thing about this is we are fully permitted. So, for example, we are on forestry land. We pay BLM payments to the government. But because we're already permitted, we don't really have an issue because the government shut down. We don't need to apply for anything. We already have it.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So we can go ahead and do what we need to do, and the government can do what they need to do, essentially, right?
Perfect. I like that in the first page of your presentation, you've got the term mining for millennials. Like, I can't tell you how many companies I've talked to where I've said, you know, what are you doing towards younger investors? And they look at you like, is this your first rodeo? Like, why are you even talking about that stuff?
You know what? I'm 31 years old. I've been in the business since I was about 21. I started doing things. I got my first stock picks. So my uncle was one of the biggest brokers in Canada. And when I was in university, I had a mobile detailing service. So I'd go to all these successful promoters' house and stockbroker's house, and I'd wax their Ferraris and Lamborghinis and their Bentleys and their G-Wagon, and they'd all give me stock picks. And I kind of started watching it, and this was in 08 as the market came off big. So, you know, all these guys would do these mining vehicles like Ventana. I remember Ventana going from $1 to $12 takeout, and ITH going from 50 cents to $10, and Canico going from 30 cents to $6. And it was such an exciting time for me as a 21-year-old looking at how these guys have done in the market. And I think that, you know what, there's a lot of time now for millennials that were my age that are still, you know, maybe in their mid-20s or a bit older that said, shit, you know, this is exciting. And we're going to – when gold comes back and mining comes back, it's going to go harder than any weed stock or blockchain stock went because these are real assets, you know. If I gave you a plate and I put on my Bitcoin on it, you couldn't see it. If I gave you a plate full of gold, you'd see it.
Yeah, you know what's funny is whenever someone says to me, "Well, you know, young people don't invest in mining; they don't like it." I'm like, "Do you know what the most successful video game of the last 10 years is? Is Minecraft."
Like, that's actually cool. I didn't think of that. Yeah, yeah.
Kids are mining for resources all day, every day, and their parents are yelling at them for it. And then
now they can do the real fucking thing. That's a great little analogy. You got to throw that in there.
Look, I'm doing a whole presentation on it at Cambridge in a week's time. Like. You look at most of the games that are out there right now, No Man's Sky is mining.
I was doing that when I was in high school in grade 8, 9. I had this was an 03. They had, I think, Minecraft was around then too.
Yeah, you're going out there trying to find some lapis lazuli.
And I was building a town and mining for gold. I never thought of that. That's actually a cool thing.
And then you think about Bitcoin. What was the big value in the market with the whole blockchain thing was people weren't that interested in blockchain proper. They're interested in the miners.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? They weren't mining anything real, but it was the production that people were into, and they were doing the math on, you know, what is it, the energy cost, and what are they spending on this and that. And, I think that there's a big case to be made for millennials being the go-to for mining for the next 5-10 years, especially as they start pulling their money out of cannabis.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what, I think the cannabis space is more real than the Bitcoin space, but I think, you know, going forward, I think this is where you want to be. And, you know, for someone to go and buy some stock in whatever we come trading at, 20, 30, 40 cents, I don't think you're going to get burned at all. And there's nothing but potential here. Whereas if you're going and you're buying Bitcoin at 15 or 20 grand, and also it's just the regulation how things work. People were able to buy Bitcoin with a credit card. So they'd lose all their money in Bitcoin, and then they'd owe all that credit card debt.
Yeah, and then they couldn't get their money back even if they did make a profit.
Right. So, you know, they're not getting into gold at $2,000 or $1,900. They're getting into it as there's a technical level of $1,300 about to go. And if anyone has a reasonable brain, they're going to know that when that technical level gets hit, things are going to go. So you might as well do it now, because if you wait 6 months, you know what? You're going to miss a lot of opportunity.
Yeah.
And our timing is perfect.
One of the issues that younger investors face with resources is the amount of time it takes to get from zero to hero.
Yeah.
But I think that they just sort of need the education aspect of the way I liken it is you're not betting on a racehorse that's going to its first race that it will win the Kentucky Derby. You're betting on each race that gets it to the Kentucky Derby. So there's profit potential at each one of those stops. And I don't think necessarily the younger guys have sort of figured that out yet. They think it's all in the long run.
I think millennials also need to understand, you know what, I mean, you got to educate yourself, you know, because if you're saving for your future and thinking these quick fads are going to work, you got to figure a lot of these tech guys have seen the markets come off and stuff, but anyone smart going forward has, you know, got to be safe with their investment. And I'm just trying to make millennials a little bit smarter in what they're doing. As you know what, I'm sure these are great little fads and it could work, it could not, but this is a safer bet than what you guys are doing. And listen, you need money in the future. If you blow it all now, you're not going to have any.
Yeah, for sure. Excellent.
Great.
Good job, guys. Well, this has been fortuitous, and I've been sort of scratching and putting this presentation together for next week. And you guys have dropped in my lap exactly what I was looking for, which is a young mining company speaking to a new audience rather than just going through the same old bullshit templated websites and dry copy that we've dealt with for the last 30 years.
And we got Craig Taylor will become a consultant, so things are really going to move when he starts promoting.
We aim to please.
If you guys start streaming from the mind phase at Twitch, then we'll know you're really in the millennials phase.
And yeah, we'll finish the ball of scotch and then start giving more interviews.
Right. All right, man. Well, thanks for your time. I'm going to knock something together and I'll drop it in your lap in the next few days.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. For disclosure statements and more info, please visit www.equity.guru.